744 on your Wednesday morning. Another cloudy one, at least for now. Special air quality statements remain up on the west side of the province and kind of floating into central Saskatchewan as well. Saskatoon is included. Hey, we all love shows. We love movies. We love stories. But how we watch continues to evolve. A lot more of us are watching streaming services now versus traditional broadcast TV. Some new numbers back that up. And as well, look how many of us, the freshly announced Emmy nominations are from streaming services. At theaters, yeah, it's been up and down the last number of years. Looks like things are picking back up now. Joined this morning by our resident movie expert, Brett Buster, to talk more about this. Morning.
Morning, Kevin.
We're not talking this morning about one specific movie. We are talking about a rebound in the entire industry. And for the first time since 2019, as we've been telling you about in the news, Canada's largest movie chain, Cineplex, has made at least $50 million in each of the 3 months in a quarter. That hasn't happened in, what now, 6 years, but it just happened again. Are we back?
I think we're getting close. I mean, there's certainly a lot of big ticket movies. They're always shooting to get the biggest ones in the summer. So, I mean, we already had ones like F1 and Lilo and Stitch did very well. You know, the How to Train Your Dragon remake. Yeah. You'll notice the theme here. It's a lot of remakes and IPs. Although F1, you know, that's like the first
original.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it cost a lot of money because Apple put way too much money into it. So I don't think it's profitable, but the theaters are, and people are really craving that big experience. So I think we're definitely getting close. And this was like one of the best Julys on record we've had, like three major blockbusters, starting off with Jurassic World Rebirth, which, you know, got so-so reviews, but people saw it. And then you had Superman last week. And then next week we've got Fantastic Four. That is unheard of to have that many tentpole films so close together.
Yeah, Cineplex, Cinemedia, you got to believe all the other chains, Landmark, are doing well. And even some of the local theaters too, Moonlight and the drive-ins.
The drive-in, yeah. They can show the new movies at their drive-in.
It seems like these family movies are what help make them this money.
And I think that's unfortunately the trend that we're just going to be stuck in for the next, I don't know, it feels like it's already been going on for a decade. We're just going to remake every Disney movie you've already seen, and we're just going to have sequels and sequels. Because that's unfortunately the way the theaters have gone, is people just want to go see a sure thing. They don't really take as many risks with original films, which is why you're seeing such great profits now.
Brett Buster with me this morning. So what we just talked about, does that mean the future of movies over the next, you know, couple months, couple years, decade are going to be more remakes, more sequels, more superhero movies?
Yeah, I mean, there's no stopping the superhero train. That thing's been going
clearly
going now, steady. And every studio wants to have their own, you know, characters out there. So, and even if they have to create original characters or just go to different comic books. But looking at the rest of this year, it is chock full of sequels. I mean, obviously, like Wicked 2, you've got even like movies you didn't think needed a sequel, like that action movie Nobody with Bob Odenkirk.
Right.
That's getting a sequel.
Shot in Winnipeg.
Right. The Bad Guys 2, you know, it was a decent animated movie. Did it really blow down the doors at the box office for DreamWorks? I guess so. We have a sequel coming out. So I do say I have two minds of it. I don't love it because they get all the attention and it's like I don't need to see How to Train Your Dragon. Like I already love the first one. It's a perfect movie.
Yeah.
And it's only from 2010. However, if these kinds of movies are keeping the doors of the theaters open so I can go see the more original, unique stuff, then I'm all for it. Because at the end of the day, I want to see movies in a theater. I don't always want to wait for them to be at home. So if a couple remakes and sure things for the audience come out, then so be it.
Theaters now, chains of Cineplex, Landmark, they're all doing it. It seems like they're offering, or they're trying to offer, a unique experience that you can't get sitting at home streaming it. I think in some theaters across the country, not really around here, but I think in like Toronto, for example, they have screens on the sides as well. So you're looking, yes, at the screen in front of you, but then you have kind of like in your peripheral, you have these screens on the side trying to almost create that 360, but it's all trying to get more butts in seats.
Yeah, I've heard of those. I would love to try one just to see what it feels like. I feel like I would almost feel like I'm at a theme park watching like one of those like virtual reality kind of rides, like where it's all around you. I think it could be cool. Then there's also, you know, D-Box has been around for a while where the seat interacts with the movie. And of course, there's just like, you know, better sound and better picture. They're trying everything to get you in the theater, as they should, because one thing we learned from the pandemic is how quickly they were going to narrow that release window. I mean, some movies are only in theaters for a month now, and then you can already watch them at home.
Yeah.
So if whatever it takes to get the audience back to the theater, to the habit of finding the theater to be a special thing is a good thing. And I'm happy to that Cineplex is reporting such a great, you know, fiscal.
Thanks for your time this morning, Brett Buster.
Thanks.
/7:52 A top story in the news this morning with Lisa Schick. A plane just made an unscheduled stop at Regina's airport last night. Just after a touch, 980 CJME's Jillian Massey was there getting all the latest for us. She joins me on the line now. Good morning to you, Jillian.
Good morning, Kevin.
So what can you tell us that happened at the airport last night?
Well, so we had heard that there was an emergency landing that was happening around 8:20 last night. So, you know, and of course, when something like that happens, I got the call from our news director, Sarah Mills, and she said, can you just go down and take a look? So I said, of course. And so when I got down there, and Kevin, you know, when you're driving down Luvan Drive, and I was coming from Harbor Landing, you know, on the one side of the airport, I could see that there was fire trucks and flashing lights on the one side. So I was like, oh my goodness. So I went around the corner, and as I pulled into the parking lot, I could see people getting off of the Porter airplane and walking down the tarmac. So I went around the corner, and basically what we learned this morning, we received confirmation from Porter Airlines this morning, was that there was a little bit of the smell of smoke in the cabin. They couldn't see anything, but based on that decision, the captain of the plane decided to make an emergency landing in Regina.
Yeah, and we know as well that you had an opportunity to speak with some of the 90 or so passengers on board. Jill, what were they saying?
So lots of people were still, they had just gotten off the plane, and so the Regina Airport staff were giving them water and bags of chips. They were helping them find different accommodations. So I talked to some people who were just standing and waiting. This plane was coming from Hamilton to Vancouver. Regina doesn't actually host Porter Airline service. This isn't an airline that we have currently at the airport. Basically, I talked to a couple of people, and basically they said it all began. They were unplugging the flight attendants came around and said, you know, if you have your electronics plugged in right now, make sure that you unplug. We're going to ask everybody to unplug them right now. And if they start getting really, really hot, make sure that you let us know. And I talked to one lady named Gwen Powell, and she said, you know, it was soon after that we heard that they had declared an emergency landing. They said, nothing, don't worry. Everybody is safe right now, but just be aware there could be some flashing lights on the runway. So they had decided they were going to land in Regina. About 10 minutes later, they diverted the plane back to Calgary. But eventually they reversed that decision and they made the emergency landing back in Regina.
Well, thanks for your time, Jill. We're up against the clock. Appreciate your reporting on this.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin.
And the airline says, as Jill mentioned, passengers were put in hotels overnight and being sent to Vancouver later today. That's the plan, at least. /8:14 Still special air quality statements up on the west part of the province because of wildfire smoke floating into parts of central Saskatchewan this morning as well. Saskatoon still included. Langham is still included, by the way. Tens of thousands of people there. Ag in Motion is on. So yeah, big crowd. Again, just a little northwest, about 15 minutes or so down the Yellowhead Highway from Saskatoon. They're keeping an eye this morning as well on the Buell Fire in Prince Albert National Park. That fire is now about roughly 30 kilometers away from the Waskasoo town site. There is a pre-alert evacuation notice up. Again, pre-alert evacuation. Parks Canada says there's not yet an exact threshold as to when a full evacuation order could be announced. So something that we are continuing to monitor as wildfires continue to burn up north. Let's take you to Creighton, because remember, this was a community that had been evacuated a number of weeks ago. People are allowed to go back home. They've been back home, and we have been talking through this whole entire process. Moira Davis, she joins me on the line this morning. How are you, Moira? Are you back in Creighton now, right?
Yes, yes. We came back on the Wednesday, which was when Manitoba was allowed back. I was not coming home until I knew that both highways from Saskatchewan to Manitoba would remain open.
And so how does everything at your house look? Is everything in order? And I guess overall, your community, describe it for us.
So we, as well as probably everybody I've talked to, were absolutely stunned that none of our houses had any major issues.
Oh, excellent.
Our insurer had told us we would be expecting smoke damage, so things that I had removed from the home as you know, keepsakes and the like, I didn't want to bring back in case it was smoky. No smoke in the house. I have a digital Bluetooth thermometer in my chest freezer. The highest it got to during the 20-hour power outage was -4, so nothing lost there. I had to clean out my fridge. Nothing else. Otherwise, everything was perfect.
So now that you're back home, are you feeling any better?
Actually, you know, that's a darn good question. No, I don't. So when we were driving back on Wednesday, like I was paying, you pay attention. I just noticed that once we got past Poistic, which is about 30 miles out of Creighton, I just saw all of these wildly looking dead trees, dead but not burnt. Mm-hmm. And then you look on the ground and you can see that there's some green grass. Very obvious that muskeg came through. My husband came home and he had gone out to try to develop a plan about how we're going to get our ruined pontoon boat back into town. And he said, I'm going along, he said, in the side-by-side. He said, and then there's a fire right by the road. And he said, but you could see it. He said, here I thought it was just a very small fire. He said, but the whole tree surrounding the tree, this large area, was just smoldering. So that's what's going to keep going, and that's going to keep going well into winter. Like, this is not a case of, oh, we're safe, we're back, whatever.
Yeah, and I think the frustration is in a lot, it can be felt, I think, in a lot of your area. Dunair Beach, a law firm I know in Saskatoon, has been gauging interest in class action. You were recently online during that meeting, were you not?
Yes, I was. There was such an overwhelming demand for the meeting that they had to create more spots. It was basically a Zoom meeting. It wasn't a Q&A. And they basically walked us through how a class action lawsuit happens, you know, what all is involved, what they may or may not pursue. But, I mean, there were, when I was on it, I could see the number of people on the Zoom meeting. There were over 100 people listening to this. And I'm sure every one of them has a story that, you know, people would resonate with. So going forward, I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe what will happen is once the investigation happens with the ombudsman and there are recommendations coming out of that report, maybe they'll say, okay, we can pursue or we can't pursue. The four communities in the area that, you know, everybody knows everybody, this has profoundly affected our communities. But overall, I feel in town here that people, they're cautious, and you can feel the energy. Definitely deflation is the best way to do it. Even if you weren't personally lost anything, you know people who did. Or maybe you know, like hiking trails, they're gone. My husband is involved in the local ski club. Some of their really beautiful trails are completely gone. But overall, I can just tell that people, they can feel everybody else's energy, and it does definitely feel deflated. There was a big pancake breakfast on Sunday. Neither my husband and I wanted to go because, you know what? I just don't want to see. I don't want to see people. What do you say to them? Oh, I'm so sorry you lost your house and your livelihood, you know, and your pet and whatever. Like, there's nothing you can say to these people that makes either you or them feel any better. Everything going forward is going to be hard.
Thank you, Moira, for continuing to share your story with us.
2023, the Riders are getting ready for the BC Lions this weekend, trying to forget that loss to the Stamps last week. Here to talk about it all is the Green Zone Rider reporter, Britton Gray, on the line with me this morning. Morning, Britton. And the team was back on the field practicing yesterday. Is their first loss getting them down?
Not really, no. They're using it as kind of motivation and a way to learn, right? They knew this team wasn't going undefeated. It's very hard to do that in the CFL with how many games they play. And so now it's a matter of bounce back. Unfortunately, the past few seasons, this team hasn't been able to find that bounce back. They've gone on long winless streaks. So we'll see if this team's a little bit different here this year.
Would you call it an especially physical practice yesterday?
It was. They had the pads on. There was, especially between the offensive and defensive lines, there were guys getting thrown onto the ground, a little bit more physical. That you like to see because, let's be honest, the Calgary Stampeders did out-physical them. They out-muscled them in that game. They won the trench battle on both sides of the football. So like to see that. We'll see how that translates here. But, yeah, it was a nice change of pace to watch.
Yeah, similar comments that we heard from Coach Corey Mace. He seemed to indicate they were down, yes, physically, mentally, against that game against the Stamps.
Yeah, absolutely. Big plays. The Riders gave up a ton of big plays, both on offense and on defense as well. And that's something they'll have to do. Corey Mace admitted when I asked him, what needs to change? Because you had Vernon Adams Jr. this past week have a great game. We know what Nathan Rourke can do in this league. How do you stop that? What needs to change? And he said, well, there's a couple schematic things, sure. It's about the mental breakdowns. You can't have that as a defense, and that's what he felt led to a lot of big plays. So mentally, I think Corey Mace wants to see his team lock in and not give up those big plays. Kind of, it's how the Riders play defense, right? They're willing to let you move down the field, but when there's opportunities, they want to take advantage of those, and they want to stop teams from finding the end zone.
Yeah, and BC certainly has some momentum going into this game.
Yeah, absolutely. They've won two in a row now. As mentioned, Nathan Rourke has been looking better, though his best game so far have come against the Edmonton Elks, who, quite frankly, are a very bad defense right now. They have not been able to figure that out. And so this is going to be a good test, not only for the Riders' defense going against Nathan Rourke, but also what Nathan Rourke can do. If he really is back to that kind of level we expect him to be at, or if it's just a matter of him facing a bad Elks defense. So this is a very good test for both of these teams this week.
The Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray on the line with me this morning. Britton, I know you also chatted with center Logan Ferland yesterday. What's he saying?
Yeah, just that he was happy to have the pads on. He says it makes watching film after practice a little bit better when you watch it with the pads. And obviously they're disappointed. They kind of took it as a little bit of an insult. It's an offensive line group, the way they couldn't get the run game going against Calgary, how there were quarterback sacks and stuff on that team. They take pride in their work. They want to have a bounce back, and it's going to be interesting. Logan Ferland, he is playing center. He's still kind of a new center. He has a few games under his belt, sure, but it's not his natural position. And then BC could be loud. It's expected to be a pretty good crowd there, and so he'll have to deal with that silent count as well.
Injury update. A couple guys are still a bit banged up, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. One of the interesting ones, Tavon Campbell, looks like he's trending in the right direction. We'll have to see. Marcus Sales and Roland Milligan Jr. didn't participate yesterday, so we'll see if they're out there today. Though, the interesting one was Sam Emelis. He was listed as a full participant, but there was really nothing that indicated he was doing anything more than what he did last week. So we'll see if that maybe ramps up a bit today at practice. But that was one where it was a little shocking to see him listed as full.
Britton Gray, always appreciate your time. Thanks, man.
Not a problem.